This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into In the News, where we bring you all the major headlines from India and around the world. Today we begin with a big story from Maharashtra, where the state witnessed the swearing-in ceremony a little more than a month after the election results were declared. The BJP party condemns MP Pragya Thakur's remarks on Godse. SBI Cards filed papers for their IPO. Data reveals more than 2,27,000 Indians waiting for family-sponsored green cards in the US. And lastly, 90 more students, mostly from India, are held in the USA, where they were lured to enroll in a fake university. Beginning with Maharashtra, where the swearing-in ceremony marks the end of a month-long saga surrounding who will be the next chief minister. Well, to bring us up to speed on all these developments, we have Shraddha Sharma joining us on the podcast. Well, Shraddha, what details can you give us about the swearing-in ceremony so far?
So, Dustin, at the time of recording of this podcast, basically Uddhav Thackeray is set to become the next chief minister of Maharashtra. I'm specifically mentioning the time because, you know, around all this uncertainties, we just
never know what might happen.
Yes. So he will be actually the eighth Maharashtra CM to take oath while not being MLA or MNC. Like he was not in the one of the legislators and becoming the CM. Apart from that, traffic restrictions have been imposed in and around Dadar's Shivaji Park, where the ceremony will happen. So, as we know, the chief minister will be sworn in, but there will be no deputy as far as reports are suggesting. Apart from that, the NCB's Prapful Patil has confirmed that six leaders will take oath apart from the chief minister, two from each party. The state cabinet ministers will be announced in the coming days, you know, later. But we know that Ashok Chavan might not be taking the oath because his name was withdrawn from the list of ministers who are to be sworn in today after ED actually began a probe against him in the Adarsh Society scam, as per reports. So that might not happen. But soon after the ceremony, Uddhav Thackeray will actually hold their first cabinet meeting at around 8 p.m. We know that Sonia Gandhi will not be able to attend the ceremony after she's sent in a letter. But Balasaheb Thorat has confirmed that he will be sworn in as a minister today. And party leader Nitin Raut as well. While all of this is happening, a lot of leaders will be joining the ceremony, and including DMK chief MK Stalin, who has actually arrived in Mumbai. And something very interesting to know will be what post Aditya Thackeray will actually get, because nothing has been confirmed in that front, because now Uddhav Thackeray happens to be both the chief minister of Maharashtra and a father. So there will be, in the coming days, we'll get to know what post he gets.
Well, so I guess we'll just have to wait and watch what happens next in Maharashtra. Thanks for bringing us all the developments there.
Thanks, Dustin.
The BJP party was forced to come out and condemn the remarks made by their party member and MP Pragya Thakur in the Lok Sabha. To tell us more on this story, we have Shraddha Sharma joining us back on the podcast. Well, Shraddha, what did Pragya Thakur say?
So, yes, the criticism comes after she referred to Mahatma Gandhi's assassin Nathuram Godse as a Deshbhakt, that is patriot, during a debate in the Lok Sabha on 27th November. So there was a special protection group amendment bill when the DMK member A. Raja cited, you know, one of the statements and said Godse on why he killed Mahatma Gandhi. And Pragya Thakur actually interrupted him and said that you cannot give an example of a Deshbhakt. And, you know, suddenly, there was a lot of criticism, and the opposition members actually criticized the statement. She was also removed from the Parliamentary Consultative Committee on Defense that she was recently raised to. And the very quick statement comes from BJP Working President JP Nadda, who said that the party actually doesn't support any remark that she made, and also that she won't be allowed to participate in parliamentary party meetings in this winter session. And he also mentioned that the party's ideology doesn't support the comment that Pragya Thakur made, and the remark, but, you know, has triggered a lot of opposition. Because, you know, when she was actually speaking, the members or the opposition members actually protested and interrupted Pragya Thakur and asked her to, you know, sit down. But after that, the speaker only said that only the comments made by A. Raja will be taken on record, and the statements made by her will actually be removed from the records.
Well, so that isn't the first time, right, that Pragya Thakur is facing some flack for comments made on Godse.
Yes, Dustin. So even during the Lok Sabha election campaign this year, she had, you know, again described him as a patriot, which actually triggered a lot of political storm, and we heard a lot of statements, and she actually had to apologize later. And the Prime Minister also came and criticized the statement. But back then, it was the BJP immediately got into the damage control mode and distanced itself from Thakur's after she actually made the statement. This time also, it's quite similar when they have said, you know, it was her statement and the party's ideology doesn't support it.
Well, thanks, Shraddha, for bringing us all those updates.
Thanks, Dustin, for having me.
SBI Cards and Payment Services Limited, the second largest card provider in India, filed IPO papers with plans to raise about ₹9,500 crore. To tell us more about this development, we have Ruchira Kondepudi joining us on the podcast. Hi Ruchira, welcome to the show.
Hi Dustin.
Well Ruchira, what do we know so far about SBI Cards' plans for its IPO?
So, SBI Cards, as most people know, is a division of the State Bank of India. It is the second largest credit card provider in the country. So, it has filed initial papers for its IPO. They have filed the draft red herring prospectus. One media report says that the IPO will take place within the next 3 to 4 months. The size of the IPO right now is estimated at ₹9,600 crore,
okay,
which would make it the fifth largest IPO this year. And the largest IPOs so far this year were Coal India, Reliance Power, GIC and ONGC. So SBI Cards is looking at issuing about 13 crore shares and the IPO size is estimated at about ₹9,600 crore. This could make it the fifth largest IPO this year.
Okay. Well, Ruchira, what do we know about the reason behind SBI Cards' plans to go public?
One of the major reasons for them to go public is, of course, to raise money. IPOs in general help companies gain visibility, raise money, which is why they've gone public. Also, Dinesh Kumar Khara, the MD of Associates and Subsidiaries at SBI, he said in an interview that the revenue, EBITDA, all those numbers of SBI Cards are doing pretty well at the moment. So the company probably thought that since the numbers are good, this is a good time to list the company on the stock exchanges. Dinesh Kumar Khara also added another point, saying that they are a long-term player as far as SBI Cards is concerned. So they seem fairly confident of the company. And he also added another point that the company is offloading 4%. So SBI owns 74% of SBI Cards, of which they will be offloading 4%. Carlyle Group, which owns the balance 26%, will also be offloading a certain stake. So together, SBI and Carlyle Group will be offloading 14% in SBI Cards. And in my assessment, another reason for the company to list SBI Cards on the stock exchanges is because PSU banks, as most people know, are in a bad shape at the moment. So this could be one way of getting a sense of security and looking at different ways of raising capital.
Well, thanks for bringing us all those updates, Ruchira. The United States has arrested 90 more students in connection with the University of Farmington immigration fraud case. To tell us more about this, we have Siddesh Rod joining us on the podcast. Well, Siddesh, what is the tally of students arrested so far?
Dustin, federal law enforcement agencies in the United States have arrested approximately 90 students, and they're mostly from India, for allegedly exploiting the country's student visa system, apparently. And earlier, it was 161 students that had been arrested on similar grounds between January and July of this year. So that brings the total count to somewhere around 250 students who have been arrested for immigration fraud.
Well, could you give us some background to this Farmington case?
So the University of Farmington is a fictional institute. It was created under the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency of the United States. This is an enforcement agency for immigration, obviously. And its prime objective was to weed out fraudsters. So this university was set up in 2015. And it wasn't a real institution, but the ICE had actually advertised the university saying that it had is going to offer these STEM courses, which are science and technology and engineering and math related courses, despite not having any curriculum, teachers or lecturers or any kind of infrastructure that is geared towards education. The one selling point that it did have was that people who had applied for this course, who had applied to the University of Farmington, would be eligible for an F1 student visa at the cost of $2,500 per quarter for graduate programs. And this also included an average of $1,000 that had to be paid a month in fees. And this is according to the US media reports. And the thing about an F1 visa is that you can travel inside the United States and outside the United States using this visa, and provided that you are under a federally recognized college in the United States. Now, the thing is also, under this visa, you can also apply to jobs in the United States, and you can even fast track yourself to an H-1B visa later on. So this is the whole premise of how they had basically gathered students to come under this thing. And all in an exercise to weed out students who are flouting immigration laws or misusing them.
Well, Siddhish, what happens to these students after their arrest?
So, Dustin, more than 80% of these students have been asked to leave the country. They have been given the voluntary option to leave the country altogether. And the remaining 20% have been deported forcibly. Or even some of them have actually taken to the legal recourse and saying that they have been, quote-unquote, duped, according to the prosecutors, because obviously these are foreign students. Most of them are Indians, and they have no idea of the legal requirements of staying in a country and studying. They were just made to believe. In fact, college recruiters were also given monetary incentives by the ICE, which was the institute, that the federal institute that had set up this dummy college. They had given monetary compensation, extra monetary compensation, to highlight or, you know, canvas for this institute. And a lot of these recruiters are now facing charges themselves. So it's quite a surprise of its own. But the main prosecutors, the handful of people who are fighting for their rights, are adamant that they have been, you know, duped by the government, by the US government, in this exercise to weed out these immigrants. And finally, one more point to note is that this could have a long-lasting impact on the travel record of all these students, because in the event that they would have to come to the US in the future, or for whatever purpose, they will be blacklisted. They would be rather blacklisted, or they would be marked permanently. It will be on their record that they've been involved in such a case. So that would not fare well for these students.
Well, Siddhish, that's quite an interesting development. What's the government's stance to all of this?
Right. So, US government, Dustin, has actually gone forward and said, and I paraphrase from an ICE spokesperson, saying that students who had signed up for this dummy university, for Farmington University, were well aware, absolutely well aware of the fact that there were going to be no courses that were going to be carried out in this Farmington University, that they had willingly, using this knowledge, they had still signed up for Farmington University, and that they were going to misuse the immigration benefits, or rather the immigration process by the United States that had offered these students. So that is the government's stance on this. And a lot of people have also taken to streets, or they have raised their concerns. They have actively protested also against the ICE. Some of them have called for the disbandment of the ICE altogether, given the nature of this entire operation. And many have even pointed out to the effectiveness of this program. So ultimately, this is part of the Trump government's system to, you know, weed out any kind of people misusing immigration norms, right? In this entire exercise, according to reports, 600 people have been deported. And this is a very meager number in comparison to the 3 lakh students who come from abroad to study in the US. So people are also questioning the effectiveness of this program abroad.
More than 2,27,000 Indians are waiting in line for family-sponsored green card or legal permanent residency, according to the latest official data from the US. Well, Siddhish, how does these numbers stack up against the total number of applicants for these green cards?
Dustin, there are currently about 4 million people who are waiting in line for family-sponsored green cards. And you have to understand that the congressional cap, or the basically the limit of people who can get these green cards on family sponsored green cards, is about 2,26,000 per year. And the largest number of applicants is from the America's neighbor, which is Mexico. And this is followed by India, who has 2,27,000 applicants. And China has nearly 1,80,000 applicants waiting in line to get a family-sponsored green card. These are family-sponsored green cards, and a lot of them are basically siblings of people who have gotten a green card in advance. So current US laws state that US citizens can sponsor their family members and blood relatives for green cards or permanent legal residency. And there are over about 1,81,000 siblings and over 42,000 married children of US citizens and 2,500 spouses and minor children of permanent residents who are seeking to get this sponsorship of the green card.
Well, see, this, does this data reveal anything about the number of Indians applying for permanent residency itself?
That's a good question, because permanent residency is a different question altogether. And aside from those 4 million family-sponsored green card applicants, there are about 8,27,000 such permanent residency applicants waiting in line. And a majority, or rather a significant chunk of these people, are from India. An interesting point to note is that the waiting list, or rather a person has to wait for close to a decade to get this permanent residence for an Indian IT professional.
Well, what is the President Donald Trump's stance on this type of immigration?
So, as we are all well aware, President Donald Trump, US President Donald Trump, is against immigration of all kinds because he feels that this is going to hamper the economy. And he's got a particularly hard stance on this kind of immigration in itself, because he believes that this kind of immigration will definitely will add to the alleged immigration problems in the country. So he calls it as a chain immigration, and he wants to definitely abolish it, this as well.
Well, thanks for bringing us all those updates, Siddhish.
Thank you, Dustin.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
That brings us to the end of this segment of In the News. If you'd like to comment on any of the topics in this podcast, feel free to email us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.